Well, good morning, New Hope Church. My name is Sam Price. I am the Director of Student Ministry and Young Adult Ministry here at New Hope Church. And it's always fun to explain what I do to people who don't go to church or have no idea what church is or what New Hope is or what student ministry is. And I remember there was this one time I was on the golf course. It was a few months ago, maybe more than that. I was paired up with these two guys. They're around my age, maybe a little bit older, and we started to get into chat. After a while, a couple holes getting into it, and we're just waiting there. We started talking about what they did, what I did, the different jobs that we were doing. And after talking with them for a few minutes, one of them had a confused look on their face, like he didn't really know like what I did for a job. And finally, he asked me. He's like, are you a priest? Does that mean you're the priest or a pope or a bishop? And I was like, no. And so I had to explain to him, I'm not a priest. And I'll say I'm not a priest or anything. And the differences between, the Catholic side and what us as at New Hope believe. But it was such an interesting conversation. But it's always fun to explain to people the role and the jobs I do here at New Hope Church. But let's pray before we get started into the message. God, thank you so much for the chance we get this morning to come here, to be able to spend time with you, to be able to worship you in freedom, to be able to have community with one another. God, this weekend, as we remember the men and the women that have fallen, that have served our countries and their families, God, we're praying a special blessing over them. Take time during this weekend to be thankful for what we have in our lives and the freedom that we enjoy. In Christ's name, amen. This morning, we're talking about time. Time is the one thing we wish we had more of, where it passes by all too quickly. Where on a daily basis, we ask ourselves, where did the time go? Is our first excuse that we might make up when someone invites us out or over, and it's the first thing we think of when we plan our month, our week, or our schedule. Benjamin Franklin, I think, said it best, and he said the old saying of time is money. And God gives us each 168 hours in a week. But how will we use that 168 hours in that week? Will we choose to manage those hours faithfully, or will we choose to waste those hours away? When God calls us to serve him, what's one of the first things we might say back to him? And for me, one of the first words I use is but. And normally after a few sentences of saying, well, but God, I don't know if I can do it, or making up all these different excuses, I finally land on this one. And this is probably one of my final statements to God. But God, I just don't know if I have enough time. I remember my first job, my head pastor asked if on a random Monday if I wanted to go shoot some hoops with him in the gym. We've been talking about this for a few months, and so for a couple of minutes during the day, we took a lunch break off, and we decided to shoot some hoops. And at the end of that chat, he sat down, and we talked. And I remember he asked me, he said, are you willing to become the worship leader for our Sunday morning contemporary service? And now for me, this was a massive surprise. I never led worship on a Sunday morning. I never thought about it. I didn't even play with the previous band. And although I knew maybe how to play the guitar and sing and do a little bit of stuff with our student ministry worship team, my knowledge was very limited. To make things even more difficult, I had to put a brand new team together of tech members, singers, of instrumentalists. And to add on to all of that and the struggles of that, I also had Sunday school, which was our Sunday morning service for our students at 11 a.m. So all these things going on, and my mind started to race, and it started to ask different thoughts of saying, but I don't know if how to. I don't know if I'm capable enough to. I don't even know if I have enough time to. And second here, we're going to look back at a man in the Bible who we regard as one of the heroes of the Bible. Someone as Christians we look up to and we think, if only I was more like them. You see, Moses' story was filled with a bunch of different difficulties, but God provided every step of the way. In the first few chapters of Exodus, we see that Moses was not only spared from death as a baby, but he also landed in a pretty comfy spot with Pharaoh's daughter. And we can assume that his life growing up was fairly comfy, being adopted into Pharaoh's household. Later, Moses had to flee Egypt, but God still provides a way with Moses away from home. In chapter 3 of Exodus, we see that God calls Moses through a burning bush. The Lord calls Moses and lays out a plan where he wants Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into their own land. And you see, this land wasn't just any old land. It was one that flows with milk and honey is abundant of life. We're going to summarize this morning Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through chapter 4, verses 14. What follows in these few verses in this chapter, basically, is a back-and-forth conversation where Moses repeatedly resists God's call and makes excuse after excuse. And God just, he sits there, and he listens to Moses' concern, but he also provides a way out. You see, God commands with, "Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh." And this is not only a big assignment, this is one where Moses, where he lived in Egypt, he had to flee because he killed an Egyptian. And so from Moses' perspective, he was just super scared because he thought, this is impossible. If I step foot in Egypt, I'm going to be arrested or worse. His first response to insecurity is saying, "Who am I?" You see, Moses didn't feel qualified or capable enough to do this task, but God doesn't build Moses up by listening to his strength. Instead, God focuses and shifts from Moses entirely back to himself. God responds by revealing his name, "I am who I am." And this is communicating God's eternal and sufficient and unchanging love. You see, throughout our conversation that Moses has with the Lord, at the very end, Moses says, "Lord, please send anyone else." And throughout their whole entire conversation, Moses' first response to God when God says, "Go and do this," or "Go and talk to the leaders of Israel, go and talk to Pharaoh, go and perform these signs and these miracles," Moses' first word back was, "But God. But God, I don't know if they're going to listen to me. But God, I'm not a great speaker." And he makes excuse after excuse. And while, yes, Moses didn't directly say, "Well, God, I don't have enough time," we see even though that the Lord provides a way out, or says, "I'll be with you," or "perform this miracle," or "That's okay, I'm speaking through you," we see that Moses still makes up excuses. You see, maybe some of us in this room this past week might feel like Moses. God has called us to do something. Maybe others in this room feel like Moses because God called us to do something and we made excuse after excuse of why we couldn't do it. At the very least, I think most of us can relate in the fact that we wish we had more time. The things we feel like sometimes that God is calling us most to are the things that we feel like we don't have enough time for. If you were here last week, Pastor Rusty, I think he said it best. He gave us this quote, and the quote is, "How I manage my time, my money, and my influence gives a clear indication of my health, of my relationship with Jesus." I wanted to start off by saying this. There's two major biblical practices I believe that the church, and I mean the entire body of church, doesn't really like to talk about. The first is money. We talked about that last week. Pastor Rusty did an amazing job talking about money. I think the second is volunteering and serving. And sometimes it's awkward to talk about money, but I think equally as awkward is to talk about volunteering in the church. And let's be honest, for those of us who have volunteered or have served, it's awkward to talk about that with our friends that maybe aren't churchgoers or aren't New Hope friends because they just don't understand why we'd give up a Tuesday evening, a Saturday afternoon, a whole entire weekend to serve at a church. And you're not getting paid. It's also awkward to talk about volunteering because we see different places online or social media, other churches might take advantage of their volunteers. Finally, it's difficult and challenging to talk about volunteering or serving because we all have different views, ideas, or past experiences with volunteering. Some of us might carry a previous hurt from a different church. Some of us in this room might not even know that what volunteering or serving is, or that it's a biblical practice, or Jesus calls us to do it. Some of us in this room might just need a heart change when it comes to serving, because when you hear the word serving, you say, I want nothing to do with it. This message isn't to shame anyone. It's not meant so New Hope can take up every single second of your personal time. It's not even meant for after the service or right now for you to go and sign up for the worship team or CR or a student ministry event. What this message is intended for us for is to teach us and challenge the way we think and view our time and serving. This message is intended for us to be honest with ourselves and maybe for us to stop using those but statements when God calls us to do something. And I'll be honest here, I'm not the best volunteer. I'll be the first to say I don't know everything there is to know about volunteering or serving. And sometimes, a lot of times, I need a heart adjustment from God as well when it comes to when God calls me to do something. And I'm like, well, God, I just love to sit on my couch or whatever that might be. Like, I need this message just as much as anyone else in this room. So let's get started. Our first point today is Jesus perfectly shows us how to serve. We see this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 28. That's going to be up on the screen. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus could have made up any different excuse to get out of serving other people, right? He could have said, well, I'm the Son of God, right? And that could have been a decent amount of excuse to be like, okay, he's the Son of God. He doesn't have to serve us. He could have made up the excuse of, I don't have enough time. I'm talking with all these different people. I don't have enough time to heal you or to serve you or to spend time with you. He could have made up any different excuse, but yet we see throughout Jesus' life that time and time again, he takes time to serve other people and humbles himself in that way. One of my favorite stories in the Bible comes from John chapter 13, where we see that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And at first, in the story, we see the disciples are really confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's going on. I mean, after all, they've been walking all day long, and their feet are probably disgusting in their sandals. This was a task that was not meant for their leader. It wasn't meant for somebody that they're following. Yet Jesus says in verse 15, I've given you example, and then commands them to do the same. Jesus perfectly models how to serve one another. Our second point today is, but I don't have enough time is often a priority problem. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 17 says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And I get it, it's not always the case, but sometimes it's the case, and oftentimes it is. I don't have enough time. It's not a time problem. It's a priority problem for us, right? For those of us who've done school or have a job, saying I don't have enough time to our boss or to a professor probably doesn't fly. Right, if I'm doing a project and I'm in school and I say, well, professor, I didn't have enough time to do the project because I sat and I watched, I don't know, college football all weekend long, that's not going to fly with my professor. Or if you have a project, a Excel spreadsheet or a presentation that's due at the end of the week and you say to your boss, I just didn't have enough time, oftentimes that doesn't fly. Or think about this, how often do us who have social media hop on social media, instead of it being a five-minute thing, it turns into a doom scroll, which I had to look this up myself. The definition of a doom scroll is the act of compulsively scrolling through social media or news feeds to consume large amounts of negative, distressing, or alarming content, even when it makes us feel anxious, sad, or overwhelmed. So I guess the kids are saying now the doom scroll, like they're just scrolling through social media and different things. And so how often do we spend on social media? And like I said, it's supposed to be a 5-minute thing and it turns into an hour long just doom scroll. How often do we get home and we find ourselves guilty of wanting to do something, maybe wanting to get involved somewhere, even going to the gym, maybe serving somewhere. And instead of doing those things, we go back home and we cook dinner and we sit on the couch and we live on the couch for the rest of the evening. My whole entire point is that we do things that are a priority to us. We go see family. We go take our kids to their games or their events, or you might even find time for ourselves. And none of these are bad priorities, and I'm not saying that these shouldn't be priorities. Obviously, kids, work, school, gym, or our own personal time are things that we might need. But I think each and every one of us has a few things we do on a daily basis that we make a priority. But when we really can reevaluate that for ourselves, we can probably see that it isn't a priority at all. Maybe it's just a bad habit. The third point today is busyness is not the same as purpose. We're going to read Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. And the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing to be worth concerned about. Mary has discovered it and will not be taken away from her. We see two women in this story, Martha and Mary. And if you've ever read this story before or heard this story before, we often like to get on Martha's case and ask questions like, oh, why wouldn't you want to spend time with Jesus? Oh, why wouldn't you just drop everything and go sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his stories and all the wonderful things that he's doing? But today I want to take a slightly different approach. Because realistically, if we're being honest, when people come over to your house for dinner, you don't stop cooking, right? We don't stop everything to go and spend time with them. I mean, after all, if someone comes to your house expecting dinner or food, they're expecting to eat. And then if you don't have food ready or if it's not on time, your kids are going to start asking you, like, when is it ready? Is dinner ready yet? Like, and they're going to pester you. Or, and this is myself, someone's going to get hangry and the party's no longer fun. Right. People come over to your house. Martha was not wrong in wanting to serve Jesus a nice meal or a feast or even being hospitable. Martha's actions were not incorrect in that way. Where Martha went wrong was when she turned her busyness into resentment. Her purpose of, she thought that, oh, well, because I'm doing all these things and because I'm busy, my sister Mary, she's not. The good intentions Martha had instantly went out the window when her busyness got caught up in resentment. And so her whole entire purpose and meaning of serving Jesus got all twisted around and all wrong. You see, busyness is not the same as purpose. I'll share another story in college. I was in seasons for my sport. So I was doing school, my sport. I was serving at a local church with 9th and 10th grade boys. I was leading worship for the students there. I was leading worship for a different place. I wanted to start 2 intramural soccer teams, not just 1, 2 for some reason. It got really awkward when those 2 teams played each other, and I had to figure out which team I had to play for. But 2 intramural soccer teams, and I think at this point, I was wanting to try something just totally random and different, and I wanted to join the lacrosse club. So there are just too many things going on. These are all great and awesome things, but there came a certain point in the new year where I had so many different things, I was forgetting all the things I was doing. I was forgetting when my games were. I was forgetting when I needed to show up to be at practice for worship team or when to be at the student ministry group to help serve. My intention was good. Everything here was good. School was great. Wrapping up my season strong for my sport was really good. Creating new friendships was really good. Fostering old existing relationships with my intramural team was really good. Trying a new sport, trying something different, and challenging myself was great. Serving at a church, good. Leading worship, good. All these things were good. And my intentions with each and every one of these was not intended for bad. However, the busyness turned into just a bunch of different checklists. And instead of managing my time well and pouring things into things that might grow me or challenge me or grow me closer to God, instead I just stayed busy. And after a while, I found no purpose in really anything that I was doing, and all these really good things turned into just mundane tasks. Where, if I was being honest, I wasn't ever present in any of the things I was doing. I wasn't present when I was leading worship. I wasn't present when I was with my 9th and 10th grade guys and leading their small group because my mind was always onto the next thing to check off in my checklist. And I think a lot of us can relate to that, and at times I still relate to that because the Northern Virginia way is to stay busy. Busy with work. Busy with kids, busy with their activities, busy spending time with friends, busy with maybe school, and the list goes on and on. And if we're not busy, it seems like something might be wrong with us because we don't stay busy. But I think we can say that we can be busy with a purpose. We can have a full calendar schedule. We can have a full agenda that we're needing to do. But we can also find purpose in each and every one of those things that we're doing. Last point that we have this morning is we have freedom to serve one another. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But you don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." As followers of Christ, we live with a freedom, being secure, knowing that Jesus came to die for our sins, that we have the opportunity to accept him into our life for eternal life. And I like to explain this to our students like this. Let's just say you've seen the coolest movie ever. Maybe that was when Star Wars first came out. Maybe it was one of my favorite movies, Rocky II. I got a lot of hate from our students earlier, but maybe it was La La Land or Casablanca, or maybe it was a brand new movie called Solo Mio that just came out. Your circle, your community, your friends, your family, let's just say they haven't seen this movie yet. They haven't experienced how fantastic this is. Really, in fact, they don't really even know what this movie is even about. What would you do in that situation? I think most of us, if we say we really like this movie, we really love this movie, we would want to tell them all about it. Why they need to go see it, why the characters were fantastic, the plot line was fantastic. I won't spoil any of the movies, but why you should go see this movie. You explain all about it. Maybe you even post it on Facebook, on Instagram, you would tweet it, whatever that might be. You see, we wouldn't lock ourselves in our house and watch it 12 times in a row to hide the fact that this movie was great. Similarly, with our faith, we have two options when it comes to serving others and sharing our faith. We can go and share our faith and serve others. We can go serve others who haven't even experienced what we experienced yet, who've never even thought about how God is working in their life on a daily basis. We can serve those who've never experienced the joy we've experienced when we're worshiping him. We can serve others and pray for other people and be blessings around the people around us. Or we can just go through our daily routines and not let anybody know how awesome and amazing our Lord is. So the application is where do I start now? I think the first place we need to start is rethinking our time and what's important. Like we talked about, there are obviously things we have to do. There are obligations we need to keep up with. But there are things that we can do and that we can cut out of our lives. Right, one thing for myself is like the whole social media thing. I don't need to spend 15 minutes on social media or 5 minutes and it turns into 30 minutes. And so that's one thing that I personally can cut out of my life. Like we said before, God gives us each 168 hours a week. It's up to you and me how we choose how to live those 160 hours in that week. Are we going to spend that most of the time working? Are we going to spend most of the time running around, staying busy? College students, maybe you're spending most of that time sleeping, right? What are we going to do with those 160 hours we have in the week? The first question for us to think about is, are there things in our life that we can cut out that aren't priorities? Are there things in our life that we can cut out that aren't priorities in our life? Second application point is rethinking the word serving. Our society is placing negative light on the word serving. Our society says that we don't want to serve, we want to be served. And that's our whole goal and purpose in life, is not to be the intern that serves the coffee to our boss, but to be the boss who gets the intern to serve the coffee to us. You see, serving isn't supposed to be just something we do when we feel like it, or to be nice or to pat ourselves on the back. It's not about doing good so good comes back to you. It's not about serving the Lord so he'll answer more prayers or maybe even love you more. You see, serving is a command that God has given us to go and to serve others. And it's also our worship towards him. The final point this morning is if you're interested, find a place to serve. Yesterday, I had this whole little promotion of why we should, or why you might want to serve in student ministry and all the incredible and awesome things about it. And I decided to cut all that out because, like I said before, this message has never been, and the purpose has never been about getting volunteers or people that want to serve in student ministry. And so this message is for you to find what God is calling to you. And maybe it's not directly with New Hope Church on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening or a Tuesday or Wednesday evening. But find a place that God is calling you to serve at. Here in a second, we're going to hear about an awesome opportunity that we partnered with an organization and how there's so many of you that have volunteered to serve foster teens and young adults. That's an awesome place to start. Like I said before, this message isn't intended to make anybody feel bad or for us to go and sign up instantly as a volunteer after this service. My hope and my prayer is over this next week, we're able to listen to God, to find a place that he's putting on our hearts to serve and serve him and his kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, we're praying this week that we're able to take time out of our day and our schedule to realize what has been a priority to us, maybe what we're making a priority in our lives. God, for some of us, there needs to be a readjustment in our lives of what we're making priorities and what we're putting ahead of you. For others, God, we're praying that that we keep our priorities straight, that we keep doing and following those priorities and keeping up with everything. God, we're also praying for each and every one of us to that you put something on our hearts to be interested and to go and serve you, Lord, to be passionate about this one thing or multiple different things and places we can serve you so we can ultimately worship you, Christ. In Christ's name, amen.